You're listening to Wheelationships.
I'm excited to get rolling this morning. I'm hoping this is going to be a message that you don't just kind of blow off as, yeah, I've heard that before. I've been in church any length of time because it's really illuminated my spirit this week and it has gotten me excited. And those of you that are with us this first week in this series, we talked about words are connectors. They connect us to God and they connect us to people. And your words can bring you into the very presence of the Almighty Creator of the universe. Your words can do that. Are you hungry for that? I mean, is that something that you desire? Because if it is, your words can take you there. And the kind of words that do that are words of praise. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Words of praise are a literal gateway into the throne room of God. Isaiah made the connection this way in chapter 60, verse 18. You will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Notice that gates are referred to as praise in this scripture. And there's a couple of different ways that we can pass through those gates. One way is through corporate worship. Probably no corporate simply means a group of people coming together to do something in a united way. And scripture encourages us to come to him corporately as a body through gates of praise. Psalms 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now that scripture was written to an assembled group of believers in David's time, but it's valid and accurate for us today as well. If you are in a congregation that is actively worshiping and praising God, you can sense God's presence in that place. There is no mistake about it. And without a doubt, you are able to enter into the presence of God Almighty through thanksgiving and gates of praise. Now, if you've been in church a long time, you can kind of hear that and go, yeah, I've heard that. But please listen, let this permeate your heart this morning. When you enter into the presence of God, you then have access to everything that he has and everything that he is. Praise connects you to everything that God is. And do you know what God is? God is a redeemer. Good morning, Courtney. It's good to have you here. He is a healer. God is a deliverer. He is your defender. God is a peace speaker. He is a joy filler. He is a provider. And when you enter into God's presence and connect with him through words of praise, that's what you have access to. Try to imagine what sort of church we would be if its members unashamedly threw open those gates of praise and worshiped God with everything they had. He would be amongst our midst like you just can't even imagine. He would operate and be among us. So here's a question I get to answer for you this morning. Why is praise a gateway? Why praise? Why is that what God chose to use as a gateway into his presence? Psalms 22:3, this is in the King James, it says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Now, different versions translate that a little bit differently, and I almost caught myself getting way sidetracked in the real literal meaning and putting everything in the right place in there. But basically, what God is saying to you, my people, my children, if you will praise me, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there if you'll praise me. And when we corporately gather and praise, as Israel did, God shows up and he inhabits our praises. He dwells within our praises and he shows up and he makes himself known to us. And even greater news is you don't have to wait until Sunday to enter into those gates, because there's another way that we can enter into his presence through the gates of praise. First was corporate, and there's also individual worship. As born-again believers, the Spirit of God dwells within us. Tim has spent the last couple weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. His Spirit dwells within us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. Because God's Spirit dwells in you, you can worship Him anytime, anywhere, any place. Sincere praises will always capture God's attention. Nowhere in Scripture are you going to find evidence that a negative tongue or critical words are going to be a gateway to anything except for maybe some self-pity. Everybody got enough handouts in the back? We've got extras up here. Everybody set back there? Okay, good. Your words are powerful because they can march you right into the holy throne room of God Almighty, into His presence through gates of praise. So here's another question. What happens when I enter into God's presence? Why is that important? Why do I want to be there? Psalm 16:11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Have you ever had direction and decisions? You need a direction from God? Do you have a hunger for joy that you want to have joy so much in your life that it completely fills you up, or to have pleasures that don't fizzle out, that'll last for all eternity? That scripture says right there, you want those things. They are available to you when you connect with God and get into His presence. Now, unfortunately, I think Satan knows that sometimes a lot better than a lot of Christians do, because he has done a remarkable job of convincing believers that setting aside a time for praise and worship isn't really that big of a priority. It isn't that big of a deal, because he will overload your minds, he'll overload your thoughts, and he'll overload your schedule so that corporate worship or individual worship really doesn't take that high of a priority in your life. We'll get to church when we get to church. You know, as long as we get there before pastor starts his message, really no big deal. You have just missed a gateway into the presence of God. Now, you may be there in mind, or in body rather, but your mind is far away. And when you've done that, you have just missed a gateway into the presence of God. Now, I'm embarrassed to tell you the number of times that I've sat in worship service and gotten distracted, you know, not really crazy about that song. Or for me, my biggest things that I keep finding catching my attention are visual or audio things. You know, something's crazy with the sound or vocally or sound system, and I'll find myself going off analyzing what it is that I don't like, or visually there's something there that maybe I don't like or I don't see. And when I've allowed myself to do that, I have just missed a gateway into the presence of God Almighty. I've missed that opportunity. And God's presence is an amazing thing. And when you experience it, you're going to hunger for more of it. You're going to want more of it in your life, because every need in your life can be met in the presence of God. Every need. There's nothing that you have need of, because He lacks nothing. If you're in debt, you need to connect to His presence and find out what God's wisdom is for your specific situation in order to gain financial freedom. If you're struggling with addictions, you need to get into His presence and connect with God so that you have the power to overcome those things that have got a hold of your body and your soul and bound them up. If your marriage is struggling, you need to connect with God and get in His presence to obtain the grace not only to have a marriage that is restored, but one that flourishes. If you're struggling with your kids in some area, you need to connect with God, because God created those kids. He knows exactly what they're thinking, how their minds work. He knows their thoughts. He knows their very soul. He knows the motive behind every single action and attitude that those little guys are doing. And He can give you the wisdom to love them and nurture them in a way that will always direct them to the Father. You can obtain those things in the presence of God. I could keep going, but I think you get the picture. God's presence is what you need every day in your life, and it is amazing to me that I have access to those things if I am willing to walk through the gate of praise and connect with my Heavenly Father and get in His presence. Made me think of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, if you're familiar with the story. They were beaten with rods. They were thrown in prison. They were shackled. They were hurting and in one of the most impossibly painful, horrific circumstances you can imagine. And what did those two guys do? They began to sing praises to God. And what happened when they did? Scripture tells us that the earth literally shook, their shackles fell off, the prison doors flung open, and not only were they freed, but the jailer and his entire household were saved. That's the power of praise and connecting with God. Set aside time today, each day, worship and praise God. If you're feeling disconnected, I am telling you, you need to praise. You need to praise. So important. If you're feeling discouraged, you need direction, you need to praise. You need to open your mouth and step through those gates of praise and connect with your Heavenly Father. So here's a sobering thought. Your words are gate openers. They're gate openers. When you speak, you are either opening a gate for God to walk through, or you are opening a gate for your enemy to walk through. Gate opening isn't optional. It's just you choosing. Which gate am I going to choose to open today with the words that I speak? Because when you speak words that line up with God's word, God's going to come on the scene and He's going to bring life. He's going to bring His power. He's going to bring the things that you have need of. But when you open your mouth and you speak things that are contrary to God's words, I can guarantee you Satan is on the ready to do what he does best. And what does Scripture tell us that he does best? Steal, kill, and destroy. He brings with him an arsenal of destruction, defeat, and depression, and he is ready to use them at the first opportunity you give him to. And so many times we give him that opportunity by the things that come out of our mouth. Scripture we shared earlier in this series, Proverbs 18:20, from the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he's satisfied. Have you ever met a man or a woman that's really satisfied? Examine their words. I'll guarantee you they are right words. On the contrary, if you've met somebody who's a really dissatisfied person, their words are not lining up with the word of God and with God's words. But let's look at this next verse, the very next verse that follows, verse 21. The tongue has the power of life and death. We've used that a lot through this series. But look what comes next. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it. You have to stop and ask, what's that it? What it, love what? What's the it? You can try to connect it to a couple of different things there, but the only logical thing that you can connect it to is the power of the tongue. So really what you can read in that verse, you can read it, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those that love, now amplify that can mean honor, respect, embrace. So those that love the power of the tongue, those that embrace or respect or honor the power of the tongue will eat its fruit. So you can conclude then that if you understand the power that your words carry, and if you understand the power that is present when you praise, then you will experience the results of that power. Scripture says so, guaranteed right there. Now, I'm not God. I can't just speak a word and create life. Only God can do that. My words can't do that. But He has given us an opportunity. And I say it's an opportunity because it's up to us to choose whether we're going to participate. He has given us an opportunity to agree with Him and speak His words, and thereby allowing power to work through our words and in our life. It's His power. Proverbs 4:20 through 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a whole man's body. If your words agree with God's word, then God will make himself present in your situation and nothing will be impossible. However, if your words agree with the destruction that your enemy, Satan, desires to do in your life, remember, the Bible describes him as a lion crouching, waiting to devour. That is exactly what he is doing, waiting for those words to come out of your mouth. And I'm telling you today, there's nothing he loves more than that opportunity you give him with that gate opener that you've got attached right here to your face. He loves hearing people say things like, my marriage will never improve. I don't have any hope for it ever getting better. Or we're never going to get out of debt. Or these kids drive me so nuts, I don't know what to do with them. Or I hate my job and I never will. Those are not words that line up with God's word and his promises. And Satan is standing ready to help you make those words come to pass. Here's how that same sort of agreement works between Jesus and his Father. John 14:10. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing the work. Jesus spoke what the Father said, and the Father did the work. And that's the same agreement that he has with us, his children. We are to speak in agreement with his word, and he'll do the work. And when Tim and I are down at the altar praying for people, we've got the easy part. We lay hands on people, we agree with God's word, and then God does the supernatural. He does the work, not us. He does the supernatural part. Next verse, Matthew 18:19-20. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it'll be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together, there I am in the midst of them. Now, that's a pretty common verse, but there's also a really common misunderstanding that tends to couple with that verse. And the misunderstanding is that it's the agreement that brings the power, and it's not. Look at those words there, the key words for and by. It is not done by them for the Father. It's done for them by the Father. It's the Father doing the work, and that's what makes the agreement so powerful, because they have words of agreement will bring God on the scene. And when God comes on the scene, he brings his supernatural power with him. It is perfectly natural for God to be supernatural. And when we agree on his word, when we open our mouth and speak words of praise and agree with his word, his presence will then come and bring his power. God does desire to bless you. His word says, I want to give you the desires of your heart. He wants to do those things. And the key there is to get in his presence, receive from him, connect to him through gates of praise. But your words are key. Your words are critical. So now we've examined how we connect to God through words of praise. The other connector we talked about was to people. So it comes as no surprise that since we're made in the image and the likeness of God, that many of the same principles of how we connect to God is going to be effective in how we connect to people as well. You're not going to get very far with somebody if you approach them in anger, or if you're critical, or you're negative in some way. But when you approach them with the spirit of love, with words of kindness and praise, they're going to be more receptive to listen, to receive what you have to say, and to be willing to help in the request that you've made. So praise is not only a gateway to God. Right there in your blank, it's a gateway to people too. So we're going to look at three relationships that are key to applying this principle to. The first one is your spouse. Now, we've mentioned a common saying that we have in the McDaniel household. We've said it in Sunday school quite a bit. It's not so much what you say, but how you say it. I know my kids go, yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's a good reminder. If you want something done, nagging, being critical, being sarcastic, or throwing a barb out there and wrapping it in that just kidding. And if you do that, go back a couple of weeks in this podcast, go online, because we talked about that just kidding stuff and the damage that it does. But if you try to communicate those things in that way, one of two things is going to happen. Either your request will be completely ignored, or the job will get done, but it will be at great expense and cost to the relationship. When there's a breakdown in communication, it's not usually that the request is wrong, but how the request was made, the manner in which it was said. So how you say something is very important. Goes for husbands to wives, as well as wives to husbands. Now, the book that we've been using, we've told you before, is kind of the backbone in the series we've done, is the book called The Power of Your Words. And he used an illustration in scripture to bring out this point that I would have never picked. To me, it kind of seemed like an unlikely source. And it was Proverbs 31. Now, you probably know Proverbs 31 is all about the virtuous woman. And it's the whole text, with the exception of just a few opening verses, I think it's like the first 8 or 9 verses, the entire chapter of Proverbs 31 is talking about this virtuous woman. It's listing all of her characteristics, all of her virtues. Verse after verse after verse is only about this woman and her virtues and her high accomplishments. And then right in the midst of all of this woman's accomplishments, you see this one little verse, verse 23. Her husband is respected in the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Now, in the entire chapter, not one time is there a verse about the husband's character. Not one time is there a mention of the husband's virtue. It's all about the wife and her virtues and her accomplishments, what she has done, which would lead one to conclude that her husband's success is considered one of her accomplishments. So imagine if you will with me, go back in time to this young couple as they're walking arm in arm past the city gates where the elders have assembled. And she whispers, this wise, wise young wife whispers in her husband's ear, "You're going to be sitting at those city gates one day. You are a wise man. I believe in you. You're a wonderful man of God." I think this woman made a point of building up and encouraging her husband with words of praise and words of encouragement. And I believe that it's very quite possible that her words got God involved in her husband's life and in their future. And it makes me completely rethink my influence that I have in my husband's life, the power of my words in his ears, as well as his to mine. We all need to hear that we have value, that someone believes in us. When it encourages us to do well. Mark Twain said, "I can live on 2 months, one good compliment." We enjoy those things. Sincere compliments of words of praise encourage us. They energize us. Think about the last time you received sincere words of praise and how that made you feel and what that did to you. That's the impact and the influence that you can have in someone else's life, not just a spouse, but anyone. You have the ability through your words to assist and influence someone in becoming the man or woman of God that God wants them to be. It's a lot of power. Second relationship, your children. Speaking words of praise in the life of your children works wonders. Look for opportunity to speak sincere words of praise and encouragement, not flattery things that are going to puff them up and boost up their precious little self-esteem. That's not what I'm talking about, but true words of encouragement and praise. In the book, The 5 Love Languages of Children, Gary Chapman had this to say about praise and encouragement. "Such words are like gentle, warm rain falling on the soul. They nurture the child's inner sense of worth and security. And even though such words are quickly said, they're not soon forgotten. A child reaps the benefits for a lifetime." They need your words of encouragement. But you know what they also need? They need you to encourage their effort as well as their accomplishments. They need to be taught to stick things out. Even if it gets tough, to stick it out, to not quit. There's something to be said for the old saying, winners never quit. Praising their efforts as well as their accomplishments helps them to stay the course. It creates perseverance, grows perseverance in them, and that is a godly quality that they're going to need in their life. The Psychology Today reinforces this biblical principle by saying this: grit may turn out to be at least as good a gauge of future success as talent itself. In a series of provocative new studies at the University of Pennsylvania, researchers found that the gritty are more likely to achieve success in school, work, and other pursuits because their passion and commitment help them to endure the inevitable setbacks that occur in any long-term undertaking. In other words, it's not just their talent that matters, it's their perseverance, it's their ability to stick it through and not quit, not bail. In our disposable, easy bailout society, it's real easy for them to do that. So it's important to develop that kind of character in your children to help them succeed. Let them know you believe in them. Let them know that you believe the best in them, because that's exactly what God does with you. He looks at each one of you and he says, I believe the best in you. Sally, I'm rooting for you. That's what God's doing. He says, I believe the best. I'm on your side. And that's what you need to do to your kids. Doesn't mean there's not going to be punishment. Negative consequences, discipline's important. Negative consequences benefit them. Be careful not to step in and fix it, but they need to know, no matter what, I'm on your side and I'm rooting for you. Another relationship that this principle can be applied is yourself. Isaiah chapter 61, we're told of the coming Messiah was going to do a bunch of things, and some of them are listed there in verse 3. It says, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of all his splendor. Little side note, I read that and I went, ooh, pick me. I want to be an oak of righteousness planted for God's display, that he can look on that and say, that's mine and I'm so pleased. But what we're going to focus on this morning is the part that says Jesus will give us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. According to the National Institutes of Health, depression in the United States is alarmingly high and increasing with each year. Approximately 18.8 million Americans suffer from some sort of depressive disorder. That's just in America. That's those 18 years or older. There is a spirit of heaviness in the earth today, and the enemy is pressing people down and keeping them down. He is literally depressing them. Through his word, words is the primary way that he does that. Have you ever talked yourself into a depression or a spirit of heaviness? I know I have. It wasn't my intent. I didn't mean for that to be the result, but because the thoughts in my mind and the words of my mouth, that was the end result. And you can sink yourself into feelings of despair by not guarding those things that you are allowing, the words that you're processing. And when you do that, you're inviting depression to settle into your life. But praise God, he just told us in that scripture, I've got a prescription for you. I've got the antidote. You need to put on the garment of praise. Speaking words of life and singing praises to God will lift the clouds of depression. The enemy cannot stay. Do you realize this? The enemy cannot stay in the presence of God. And when you open the gates of praise and allow God's presence in, the enemy must flee. He cannot stay. As believers, we should put on that garment of praise every single day, much like part of your wardrobe, getting dressed in the morning, get in the habit of praising each day, and then periodically throughout the day, and that spirit of heaviness cannot rest on you. Another scripture, I don't have it in your notes this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, and that's the text about the armor of God. God is telling his people through Paul, you need to put on the armor of God. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you can take stand against the devil's scheme. Your struggle's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and the powers of the dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So he says, put on the armor of God so you can stand. And then he goes to list that. He said, you need to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet footed with fitted with the gospel of peace. Take on that shield of faith. It says you need to put on that whole armor of God. Why? So you can stand. You have the power to withstand the enemy. And the garment of praise is for that same reason. You need to put on that garment of praise. The spirit of heaviness is a weapon that the devil will use in your life. And if you battle with depression, you aren't battling flesh and blood. That is a battle against wickedness, and you need to put on the garment of praise. Praise him for saving you. Thank him for the good things he's done for you. Thank him for the things you anticipate him doing. Continue to praise and give thanks and keep on praising. And there's going to be times where it feels incredibly difficult to praise. And that's when you offer a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13:15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us, how often? Continually, it says. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. God says do that continually, every day, but especially when you don't feel like it. When you find yourself saying, I just don't feel like it, pull yourself up and open your mouth and give God words of praise. It will be a sacrifice of praise, but those words of praise will bind the enemy on your behalf and open the gate for God's power to work and to move. I'm going to close with this passage in Matthew. Kind of sums up really nicely this whole series we've done on the power of your words. Matthew 16:13-18. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overcome it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And we've learned this morning how to enter into God's presence through gates of praise. And this speaks of storming the gates of hell. And in both cases, your words are key. Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say I am? What are their words? What's coming out of their mouth? What are they speaking? And they said, oh, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some Jeremiah, some of the other prophets. And then Jesus nails them and he puts them on the spot. He says, okay, I want to hear from you. Who do you say that I am? What is your mouth speaking? Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, makes the declaration, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what I believe. That revelation filled his heart and came out of his mouth. Remember, I've been telling you over and over, it's out of your heart that your mouth is going to speak. So here we have Peter's heart belief and his mouth confession. And Jesus looks at him and he says, you got it. That is exactly right. And I'll tell you what, it's that combination right there, a heart belief and mouth confession, that I am going to build my church. It's people like you that believe in your heart and speak with your mouth that I am going to build a mighty and powerful and victorious church. And I'll tell you one thing else I'm going to do. Not even hell itself can stand up against that. That is that powerful of a combination. Think about that. Hell cannot prevail against your heart belief and your mouth confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. Words are important. They carry the power of life and death. And when you open your mouth and offer words of praise, you open the gate for God to come in and do mighty things in your life. Because when God comes on the scene, he brings his supernatural power with him, a power that you do not have. But he's given you the opportunity to agree with him, to tap into all that he has and all that he is. So be very careful of the gates that you open this morning. If you haven't been to service yet, the worship songs, one of the songs in particular I opened with was the one I was singing all week long. Every time I was going over this lesson, through you, I can do all things. Through you, nothing is impossible. All the songs that just to me, it was perfect in line with this message this morning. So don't miss that opportunity this morning. You don't have to wait for service, but take time every day to open the right gates and allow God to do great things in your life. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed the series, Power of Your Words. Keep soaking it in and applying it to your life. And again, I'll remind you as you go, if I can have two or three other people with meals, just let me know after class. Hope you guys have a great week. Thank you for being here. Your presence means a lot. Enjoy your week.